So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses.
Amen. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not what? Under obligation to the law of Moses. Let's try to explain that. So, in order to explain this very well, you need to first of all understand that as a human being, you consist of three realms or three domains. I want to say parts, but I don't think parts is the best word to it. Yeah? It's three overlapping realms. Okay? The first domain of your life is your body. Yeah? Your body, and that interacts very well with the physical. Yeah? So you as a person live inside your body. At least for now. As long as you're on earth, you live where? In your body. Yeah? Anybody who loses their body loses the right to operate on earth. I hope you get that. And that's why you have to take care of your body. Does it make sense? To function on this earth, you need what? A body. Hallelujah. So, but that's not all there is to you. You are much more than the body. Yet, you live in what? The body. So as you go inside into the inner layer, so that your body is your outward man, or your outer man, or your outer layer. Yeah? Your outer being. But there's something inside. Yeah? And as you go deeper, yeah, it's, the control is higher. Amen? You are going higher. Though you are going a smaller layer, but it's more powerful. So as you go beyond in the body, you go inside you, we contact your soul. Your soul. Your soul is like the engine room of your life. Yeah? It's your inner man. Your soul. Yeah? And your soul consists of what? What does your soul consist of? Your emotions. And that translates to your feelings. It's inside you. Yeah? You know, you can feel angry. Even if nothing is hurting your body. That's soul. Yeah? Yes, what else? Your mind. Your mental faculty that you use to think and reason. Logic is all in the mind. That's your soulish realm. And what else is in your soul? Your desires, your will, your ability to, what you want, what you desire. Yeah? They are all part of your being. So that's your inner man, or your inner being is your soul. Yeah? But that is not all there is to it. Yeah? As you go further inside, you then come to the commonest part of your being, or the innermost part of your existence. And that's what? That's your spirit. Your spirit lives inside your soul. And your soul lives inside what? Your body. Hallelujah. I need to understand that. And with your spirit, you contact the spiritual realm. With your spirit, you contact God. The Bible says in John 4, I think John 4, it said, God is what? A spirit. And those who worship him must worship him what? In spirit. And by the way, I want to thank you that you're not on social media. I want to thank you that all you're engaging on your phone with is your Bible or your notes. And once in a while, Google to search a definition. And that's the contract we have until the end of this sermon before God. And God, we honor you for giving him your full attention. Amen. Okay. So with your spirit, you contact the spiritual realm. With your soul, you contact the mental or emotional or psychological or intellectual or what else? What else? All that realm is with your soul. And then with your body, of course, you contact what? The physical realm. You know, you can operate in this world physically. Are you with me? So, it is possible for you to desire something in your body, but in your soul and in your spirit, you know that it's not the right thing. Your body wants it, but your soul or your spirit is telling you that no, that is not what? Right. Then what happens? It's a conflict. Yeah? Anybody ever had the conflict? If you're alive, you must have had what? Conflict. To be or not to be. Did you have a comment? Amen. Amen. By the way, the voice of your spirit is your conscience. The voice of your spirit is what? Your conscience. The voice of your soul is what? Your reasoning and your feelings and your desires. Yeah? Okay? And the voice of your body is what? Your senses. Yeah? They all have voice. Are you with me? So now it says, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill what? The desires of the flesh. Now, it's not every desire of your flesh that is wrong. For example, your flesh desires to eat. Is that wrong? You need food to be alive, isn't it? But when eating becomes gluttony, did I say that right? Gluttony. Yeah? Say it for me.
Gluttony?
Yeah, gluttony. Then it's now a work of the flesh. And that is sinful. Are you with me? Your body desires to sleep. Is there anything wrong with sleep? But when you are sleeping, when you should be working, when you should be studying, when you should be praying, when you should be, what else? Exercising. What else can you do? Can you sleep instead of doing? What else?
Spending time with loved ones.
Yes! Then it's a work of the flesh. You see, the flesh, yeah, on its own. The problem with the flesh is that it is weak. Let me redefine it. The problem with the flesh, yeah, ever since Adam sinned, is that it is mortal. So let me, do you know what's the meaning of mortal? Google. Mortal, young people. Mortal. What does mortal mean? To say something is mortal. If something is mortal, what does that mean? Anyone ready? Mortal, the young people? Are you here with me? Say something is mortal. Check Google if you don't know it. You are permitted. Mortal.
Doesn't last forever,
yes. You know that this flesh doesn't last forever. But you know, in contrast, your soul lasts forever. And your spirit. But the flesh is mortal. Yes, another meaning, mortal?
It has a beginning and an end.
It has an end. any other definition for mortal?
It, like, isn't eternal.
Yeah, my favorite definition for mortal is that it's death doomed. The flesh is death doomed. It will die. This one. Although mine will not die. You know why? I'm going to bypass it and be raptured. Do you like that? Yeah? You like that? Yeah? You know, some people will not die. They will just zoom. That's my hope. That's what I'm hoping for every day. And that's why I'm taking this seriously. I want to be what? I want to be raptured. I don't know about you. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm gone. New body. I've bypassed death. Hallelujah. But the flesh is death doomed. So, and because it's death doomed, the implication that it is weak. It is not eternal. It can be tempted. It can fall sick. Yeah? It can let you down. The flesh can let you down. Because it is mortal. You get? It's mortal. It is weak. So, that's why if you want to live by the flesh, you will do bad things. You will sin. Because the flesh is what? Weak. You will start out with a good thing, but the flesh will take over. Yeah? And push it. Push you beyond the boundary. And you will end up with the wrong thing. Are you with me? So that's why the Bible says walk in the Spirit. But I want to understand that word walk in the Spirit has no meaning to someone who is not born again. Because if you want to change as a person, if you want to change, the change has to start from the inside out. No matter how much you decorate yourself, you have not changed. You have just been what? You have been what? What have you been? No matter how much you decorate yourself, you have not changed. What have you been? What have you achieved? The answer is in the question. Yes, the answer is the question. Simple answer. You are correct. The answer, another answer. You have been decorated. Amen. Change is from the inside out. That's why when God wants to change your life, yeah, God first starts in your spirit. Because that's your innermost being. Open your Bible to John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 3. John 3:3. Yes, someone who has not read today. John 3:3. Two versions. King James, New King James, or New Living Translation. John 3:3. Yes.
New King James.
Yes.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Amen. Unless a man be what? Born again. He cannot see. Another version. New Living? Yes. John 3:3.
Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God."
You cannot see. It's a cannot. It's not a will not, may not, shall not. It's cannot. You cannot. It's an impossibility. For your life to be transformed, a change has to happen in your innermost being. First and foremost. Hallelujah. Yeah? In your innermost being. In your where? In your innermost being. And only God can execute that change. You can't. Hello? You can't change yourself in your spirit. It's impossible. Yeah? You can change your yourself in your body because there's something controlling. Your mind can help you change your body. Yeah? And your spirit can help you change your mind. Because the higher layer. But who will help you change your spirit? It's only God. Hallelujah. It's only God that can change you from the inside. Hallelujah. So how do we get changed from the inside? I'm just going to some basics. I don't want to assume that everybody understands this basic. Even you that you understand, I want to take you deeper in what you understand. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Let's read verse 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Yes, another person? Someone has not read today. Yes, everybody can read in this church. Romans 10, 9 and 10. New King James or New Living, Romans 10, 9 and 10.
Tell us which version. Listen, reading from New King James. So Romans 10, 9 to 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart... with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Yes, another version. What version was that? New King James. Okay, can we have New Living? Anyone? Yes, this way. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Go for it.
"If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved.
Amen. It is by believing where? In your heart. It will be changed from the inside out. You have to do what? You have to believe. You have to open your heart and let God in. That's what it means to believe. To believe means that you open your heart and say, Jesus, come in. Why Jesus? Why not any other person? Why can no other person save you apart from Jesus? Why can no other person save you apart from Jesus?
Because he's the one who died for our sins.
He's the one. He's the one who died for your sins. By the way, to qualify to die for your sins, he had to live sinlessly. Because that's to be a blameless, innocent lamb. And you have never had any human being that lives sinlessly. So that's one qualification. Another reason? Any other reason? Why is only Jesus that can save you and change you from the inside out?
Because Jesus is the Word.
Because what? Because Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He said, by Him all things were created. It takes a creator to recreate. If you're going to change from the inside out, you need the creator to do it. So the Word Himself became flesh and came down. You getting it? That's why He's the only one that can give you a new heart. And without a new heart, you're going nowhere. Matthew 7. Open your Bible to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. We touched briefly on this last week. You want to go deeper before we come back to Galatians. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15 to 20. Yes, who is ready? Matthew 7, 15 to 20. New King James or New Living. Anyone who has not read today? Yes. Matthew 7, 15 to 20.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Amen.
Because you are reading so nicely, can you continue to 23?
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Amen.
Amen. What is lawlessness? Think about it. The reason why he has to tell them to depart from him is that they do what? They practice what? Lawlessness. What is lawlessness? You can check another version to tell you the answer. What is lawlessness? Who is ready?
Sin.
Yes. More? Another word. Sorry? Wickedness. A version said wickedness. Yes. Another word?
Falsehood.
Falsehood. Yes.
The works of the flesh.
Works of the flesh. And King James calls it what? The good old King James calls it what? Check it. Matthew 7:23. You see the word there? King James. Depart from me, you workers of what? Iniquity. Someone say iniquity. Sometimes I like King James. It's deep. Amen. The reason why we have to tell them to depart is that they are what? They are workers of iniquity. Let me try to explain to you. The fact that somebody uses the name of Jesus to preach does not mean that they are of God. Because he said they told Jesus, said, "We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name." You may go somewhere or watch on TV and you see somebody casting out demons using the name of Jesus. It doesn't mean they are from Jesus. Jesus is telling that there are false prophets who will do it. It's in your Bible. He said, I'm not just paying attention. The way to know that someone is of God is not just based on the signs and wonders they perform. Because they can use witchcraft. They can use sorcery to perform signs and wonders. And they will still say in the name of Jesus. Jesus said it. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. That there are people actually who will come in use his name and prophesy. They will use his name and cast out demons. They will use his name and do signs and wonders. Yet, he doesn't know them. So do not be deceived. The way you are going to know if someone is of God is not by their signs and wonders. How will you know? How will you know? Verse 20, how do you know? By their fruits. It is by their fruits. You know that someone is of God, how? By their fruit. And the reason why he will tell them that he doesn't know them because they are workers of what? Iniquity. Basically, another way of saying is that they are bearing bad fruit. Now, I want us to go back to these words. Because sometimes you read the Bible and then you don't think about it. And one of the things you can do, one of the worst things you can do with your Bible is read it, then rationalize it that it doesn't apply to you. You're like, you read it, but that doesn't apply to me. It's applied to those people. Those people over there. But when you read the Bible, if you can open your heart, let it speak to you. This is Jesus speaking. You will never get any throughout truth. Is that, you know, you're saying that? The truth will never get truer, if there's such a way of saying, than what you hear from what? From Jesus. So when Jesus is speaking to you, pay double attention. Hallelujah. Let me explain Jesus to you so you understand. Jesus is the best model of God you can ever have. As in, if you are trying to look at what does God look like, who do you look at? It's Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Who is your role model? Ask yourself that question. Don't answer me first. Ask yourself inside that. Who is my role model in life? Just check. Hallelujah. I hope your role model is not Will Smith. Because he's a good actor. Huh? I hope he's not Ronaldo. Oh no, Ronaldo is old age. I'm expired, yeah? Who is the current one? Who is the current star? Who is the current football star? International. Not local. The people by this side don't watch football. I see from their face. Everything just looks... I mean, this half. There's no interest. Yeah? Let me see. There's some interest. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry? Uh-huh. What was his name again? Uh-huh. You know how to pronounce that name better than me. I thought I knew, but the way you said it, I bow. Amen. I hope that's not your role model. You know, I remember when, you know, we had a sprinter. Won the 100 meters, 200 meters, relay. 3 years consecutive. And 3 Olympics consecutive. Ah, that guy is my role model. The next moment, he was found committing immorality in hotels. Is that your role model? Right in that Olympic village, as he was clapping for him, yeah, on the stadium, in his when he finishes, it's immorality, sexual immorality. Hallelujah. An ordinary man is too poor to be your role model because they are living the weakness of the flesh. Hallelujah. Who is your role model if you are a true believer in Christ? Jesus is the perfect man. That's the man you want to be. That's the one you want to be like. Look, if you don't want to be like Jesus, there's a problem with your faith. You believe the wrong thing. Hello? Jesus is the closest representation you can find of God. Because the Bible says that no one has seen God at any time. That's the Father. But the Son, He came to reveal Him. Hallelujah. Anything I saw Jesus do, anything you read your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, anything you see Jesus did, that's who you want to be. Hello? As you are reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everything you saw Jesus do, everything you saw Him say, that's your model. That's the one. You will never be more spiritual than Jesus. Hallelujah. But you can grow. Same as I can grow to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know why? Because in order to change you from the inside out, the first step is for Jesus to come in. Do you know why He told Him to come in? Anybody tell me why you told Jesus to come into your heart? If you've done so. Why did He tell Jesus to come to your heart? Oh, no, let me change the question. What's the implication of saying Jesus come inside my heart? What's the implication? What does that necessarily imply? The moment you told Him to come in, what does that do to you? There was no volunteer.
Changes you,
yes. I want somebody to, it's correct. Transform is correct. But how does it change you? I just want someone to nail it in the way I want, yeah.
Sets up His home in you.
Yes, you're getting closer. That's where I'm going. Yes, anybody want to hit it better? But that's closer.
Make me spiritually pure.
Yes. Not. It's correct, but it's not going closer to what I want to hit.
Having authority.
He has told Him to take over. Amen? Look, if you have not told Jesus to take over your life, you are not born again. I just need to preach you the true gospel so you not be a tear. I want you to be wheat, true believer, not a tear, false believer. Yeah, false believer when you believe the wrong gospel. When you tell Jesus to come in, well, you are technically telling to what? To take over. Open your Bible to Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Yes, let's read it quickly. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Who is there with me? I believe you are still keeping the contract. Only Bible app and notes.
I'm reading in New King James. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me.
Amen. Let me do some drama. I need a volunteer. Young man or young woman, one person, please come. Not my sons. Yes. Okay, so you see, a young man is taking over. Amen. So this is the young man. So this Galatians 2:20. This is I. Yeah, in Galatians 2:20. And this is Christ in Galatians 2:20. Yeah? Are you following? So what happened? Is that It was Christ that went to the cross. Yeah? Do like you're dancing or just enjoying. Just like you're having fun, yeah. So while you were having fun, Christ was what? Paying the price for what he knew nothing about. Yeah? The sinless Son of God, yeah, was being punished for your sin, but thereby creating a bridge for you to enter life. Okay? Then, at some point you looked, just look at now, you looked at Christ on the cross. Yeah? You see what he did for you. You recognize who you are. That you're a poor, old, wretched sinner. Even the best of us. Even the nicest man is what? A poor, old, wretched sinner. Full of pride and selfishness. And hypocrisy. And you saw the sinless Son of God take your place on the cross. Just like he took the place of Barabbas. Barabbas went free. Jesus, he said, crucify him. And then you recognize that you appreciate that. Then you come closer. Now you come to what? To Jesus. Yeah? To become what? One with Jesus. Yeah? So I am what? Crucified. With what? With Christ. I'm sharing in his death by faith. By believing. I want you to understand, because I believe in him. To believe in means I've embraced him wholeheartedly. I have totally committed to him. You cannot say you believe in Jesus and not commit to him. If you have not committed to Jesus, you do not believe in Jesus. Yeah? But you have committed to him. That Jesus is the perfect man. So what do you want to be like when you grow up? Jesus. What if after you've grown up? Jesus. Amen? Now he said, I am what? Crucified with Christ. Please, do you have the mic? Can you read? You just read loud. I am crucified with Christ. What's the next stage? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Is that what you are saying? What goes now? It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives. So you know what happens to the young man behind? It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Now we're going to walk together. The life that I now live, what? I live by faith in the Son of God who that loved me and what? And gave his life for me. You can sit down. God bless you. Put your hands together for him. Encourage him. So go back to Matthew 7. Let's close that business and we'll go to Galatians. Matthew 7. Like, who was reading for me? There was one lovely lady reading for me the other day. Yeah? Was it you?
No.
Yes. Sure. Ah. Matthew 7. Now just read 15 to 20. Don't go beyond 20. Matthew 7, 15 to 20.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit.
Can you just pause there? I want you to just look at the meaning of cannot. A good tree.
Cannot.
It's not will not, may not, shall not, does not, but what? Cannot bear bad fruit. Inside out. The change is from inside out. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad fruit can what? Cannot bear good fruit. No matter how much you try to disciple a bad tree, what's going to bear? And no matter how much you try to suppress and persecute and pressurize and criticize a good tree. What's going to bear? Good fruit. So, the change is from the inside. And the change is not possible on your own. You need to let Christ take his place. When Christ takes his place in your heart, you will bear good fruit. So someone says, I'm born again, but I'm struggling to bear good fruit. Do you know why? Because your ego, the one that was supposed to be crucified with Christ, you picked it up again. Say, sorry, I know you're supposed to be crucified, but I need you for a moment. Let's finish this business, then I will return you back. Are you with me? You picked it. You are not letting Christ live his life through you. Yeah? You signed the contract, then you went back to your old ways. Are you with me? It's the reason why you're not bearing good fruit, that you're not letting Christ take over. When you entered the car, you gave Christ the car key. You say, Christ, this is your car now. Okay? So, this happens in real life. There are some husbands, they will buy a car. Go and give the wife, say, I bought this car for you. This is the car key. You celebrate. After that day, that's the last. She won't drive it. Yeah? Do you know there are people like that? Yeah? Am I correct? Does it make sense? So, after you presented the key to Jesus and say, this is the key of the car of my life. Yeah? Then, quickly, before Jesus could do anything, you enter the driver's seat. Jesus, are you going or not? Jump into the back seat. Let's go. He said, I said, Jesus is in my car. I have Jesus. He's in my car. But he's not taking over. You are driving it with your old bad habits. You know those bad driving habits, yeah? That's how you've been driving Jesus about. Yeah? A good tree cannot bear what? Bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot what? Bear good fruit. No matter how many laws you give to a bad tree, it will ultimately produce what? Bad fruit. Give it a lot of training sessions, a lot of seminars, a lot of instructions, a lot of rules. Ultimately, what is inside? We come. Give it time. People will reveal their true colors. Are you with me? But I'm saying that if you can let Christ take over, if you can let the Spirit of God take over the driving seat of your life, you will produce good fruit. So I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't overcome the lust of the flesh by trying to keep all the rules. By the way, the rules are good. It's for spiritual babies. If there's no rule now, you can't drive on the road. If you're waiting for everybody to be born again before you drive on the road. Yeah? It's impossible, isn't it? You need rules. Yeah? For what? For babies. When I'm saying that, I'm saying you need rules for immature people. Because the only language they understand is what? Punishment. Without punishment, they will go and do the wrong thing, knowing that it is wrong. So long they can get away with it. They are trying to get away with as much as they can get away with. They are trying to get into heaven with as much as they can get away with. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. They are trying to get into heaven with as what? As much as they can. They say, Jesus, I don't want much with you, but please take me to heaven. But Jesus is the business of heaven. If you don't want him or not, you can't want him in heaven. Even if you want him, he won't want you. Because he said, I don't know you. You didn't want me. So I don't what? No, you. You went out, yeah? And you were in need. And you were trying to call someone you know. And they were like, they would just walk past like, you know, they snubbed you. Have you ever had anybody snub you in public? Like, they were your friend, but in a particular setting, they felt maybe probably you're not good enough for them. And they what? They just walk by as if you didn't exist. I remember one sister, one of the sisters in our church, she moved on. She's in Wales now. She was like, in the days before she ever attended church, that when she was on the bus, in this basin stuff, she'll be on the bus, she'll meet people from Christians from church, they will just walk past and not greet her as if she didn't exist. Yeah? This happened for a long time. Then one day they should have invited her to their church. Say, never. Never. I don't know you. Do you get it? So if you don't know Jesus, the day is coming that he will tell you that what? I don't know you. Hallelujah. So when you let Jesus take over, this is a relationship. Relationship with Jesus will transform your life. You will want to do good works when the relationship enters your bones. Hello? When the relationship with Jesus enters your bones, you will want to produce good fruit. Natural. You will want to. In fact, you will even be bothered if you are not producing. Because Jesus has entered your bones. But if it's based on just, oh, this is bad, this is not good, this is not bad. It's like they and us. It's like Jesus is they and we are us. When you're still in they and us, you are in for a lot of struggle. Hallelujah. So he said, walk in what? In the Spirit. Get into relationship with the Spirit. Get into the habit of yielding to the Spirit. A change has happened inside you. Now, before you didn't love God, now you love God. Amen? I'm showing you how you can be sure you are born again. Because if you're not sure, you need to be converted. And when I say you need to be converted, I'm not talking about a religious conversion. I'm talking about a spiritual conversion. From bad to good. From bad tree to what? To good tree. If you are born again, now, you love God. So you say, I love God. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. Is it true? If you are born again, now you love church. Say, I love church. And as I'm saying it, if you don't love church, your conscience will tell you. That's why you tell you're not born again. Amen? If you are born again, now you love righteousness. Say, I love righteousness. It's in the Bible. If you don't love righteousness, your conscience is telling you right now, you know, you can hear it. It's nudging you. That conscience, no, it's a master poker. Amen. Now, if you are truly born again, now you hate iniquity. Say, I hate iniquity. Now, if you don't hate iniquity, yeah, you are still a bad tree. And I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to show you how you can move forward from being bad tree to what? To good tree. Hallelujah. It's a change from the inside out. You have to only embrace Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am what? I am the truth. Any other alternative is a deception. Any other thing that life offers you, even if it's pleasurable, is deceiving you. Is aimed to destroy your destiny. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Anything that is outside of Jesus, yeah? Even if it looks good. You've heard this statement, not all that glitters is gold, yeah? It is a scheme of Satan to ruin your life. Are you with me? That's why Jesus said, I'm the life. Don't you get it? He's just saying that I'm the life. It means there's no other life. Are really outside of me. The one you seem to be enjoying now, ultimately, when the mask is removed, yeah, you will see that actually it was destruction. I am the truth. I am the truth. There's no deception. I'm the reality. I am the real deal. I am the one you want to be like. The one you should want to be like. Not just in character, but also in power. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. In fact, before, I was going to say like, I've been trying to say more Holy Spirit of Holy Ghost. Then I went to my son's school, and I found out they are doing an event called ghosting. I said, oh, so you know this word? Okay, no problem. So now, God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. They say what? They say Holy Ghost. That's the one you want. The what? You don't have any other business with any other ghost. The real ghost you want is what? The only one. All the other ghosts can oppress you. But the Holy Ghost will never oppress you. Hallelujah. It's like a gentle dove. Yeah? God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. That's what I'm quoting. God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Because God was with him. That's who you want to be! Oh, okay. I don't know about you. That's who I want to be. Amen? You know that sister said, you have only one life to live. Yeah? I want to be able to operate like Jesus. Godly character, godly power. Godly character, godly what? Power. I was watching something yesterday or maybe during the weekend. There was one so-called prophet. And he was boasting. I was like, you know, if there's any other prophet that can tell you the result of the football match, you know, for the next weekend, let them come out and challenge me. As if there's any prophet that can predict the result of the football match. You know, there's a match going to take place this afternoon. I don't know who is playing. Who is playing? Where's my mic? Who is playing? Okay, so you see that. Okay, I can't find my mic. Okay, I found it. So if any other prophet anywhere in the world can predict you, tell you the exact results, let them come and challenge me. Basically, I can do it. And I ask myself, what is a football match result having to do with the kingdom of heaven? Why must it be the result of a football match that you wish to test whether someone is a true prophet? Lie is rubbish. But when you're not designing, you will be deceived. Is it football match that will take you to heaven? Think about it. Hello? We're talking about transformed lives. We're talking about when Jesus came. You know his mission. Did he go about predicting? You know what Jesus said? Luke 4:18. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor or to the meek. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bring deliverance to the captives. He has sent me to bring recovery of sight to the blind. He has sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus in the business of changing lives, not predicting football matches. And if that's what you are looking for, the devil will accommodate you. He will tell you the name of your grandmother. And he's still the devil. Because the devil has the technology. You know that many people that even know the name of your grandmother. You may not even need the devil. Are you with me? A good tree cannot what? Now, if you see a good tree that is producing bad tree, it has been corrupted inside. Hello? If you see a good tree producing bad tree, what happened? Corruption has entered. There's such a thing called spiritual corruption. So it's not everybody that you see is born again that is a good tree. Some are a corrupted tree. So what will they produce? Corrupted. It's not just, you see, sometimes Bad fruit is better than corrupted fruit. Because bad fruit, you know this person is bad. Sometimes an unbeliever is better than a false believer. Because the false believer is a believer. Yeah. Are you with me? Let me see how we're doing with time. So let's go on the home run now to finish it. So go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, 16. Let's read it again. And I will then, zoom down in there and then we'll finish it there today. Galatians 5, 16 again. Someone who has not read today. You've not read today. You've not, during this sermon, you've not handled my mic. Galatians 5, 16 to 18. Yes? Come on, darling. You did. Okay, fine. No problem. Who is ready? You've not read during this sermon and you like to. Yes, thank you. Galatians 5, 16 to 18. There you go. So we are gathered. We are rounding up. I'm looking to round up in 7 minutes or so.
New King James Version. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That is, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not. So the key is not just saying, oh, this is bad, so I'll do my best not to do it. That's the starting point. I'm not saying, you see, that's the law. That's the law of Moses. You know that, you know, when you say the law of Moses, who gave Moses the law? It's God. And who is God? He's perfect. So you understand the law of God is perfect. Do you get it? The law came from God. So what? It's perfect. Where is the problem? Is it the law? No. Where is the problem? The flesh. The problem is not the law. The law of God is what? Perfect. Everything you read in the New Testament is perfect. But the problem is the flesh. The flesh, in its mortality, in its weakness, cannot keep the law of God by itself. That is the problem. The problem is not the law. The problem is what? The flesh. But yet, you still need the law to restrain evil. Psalm 19 says the law of the Lord is perfect. Yeah? What does it do? Can anybody complete it? Sorry, no. The law of the... Psalm 19, you can check it. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? Anybody? I feel like giving £5, but I don't have it. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? Psalm 19. Look at it. Look for it. I want you to get it right. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does it do? No. Open the Bible. You can't get this answer without opening. What does it do? It converts. The law of the Lord converts. You know how it converts? The word of the law of the Lord tells you that you are what? A sinner. Or let's say this way. The law of the Lord helps you to locate the weakness of your flesh. Yeah? Without the law of the Lord, you think you are good. You're a great man. But when the law gets you, say, ah. He was not sin. Let him cast the first stone. Then what happened to all of them? One after the other. They left. Even the top religious leader. So that's what the Lord does. But the law cannot save you. The law can locate you, yeah? But the law cannot give you the power to overcome the sin. For you to overcome, you need the Spirit inside you. You need to change from the inside. And I think that change comes by totally embracing Christ. Totally. For example, I can't love God and hate the Word of God. For example, if I love God and the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, it's impossible for me to love God and not honor what? My father and mother. But and let me tell you something. You cannot disjoint them. When I'm not honoring my father and mother, it affects my relationship with God. Because it destroys authority and order. So my relationship with God can never be okay if I cannot keep what he told me to do. But the reverse is true. If my relationship with God is okay, he will empower me to, maybe my father offended me. Yeah. You know, there are some people that they didn't even get to live with their father. Some people did not even, you know, see their father. And their father was in this world. So, when you look at it from the physical, you could have a reason why you're angry with your mother. Maybe she didn't bake you cake for your birthday. But you were not angry until you saw your friend. And the mother baked that cake. Now you're angry. Are you with me? So there can be a reason. It's possible that you feel you have been maltreated. Or maybe they didn't even maltreat you. Maybe you maltreated them. It's possible. If someone can maltreat you, it's possible for you also to be the one that maltreated them. Anyway, let's leave it. That's the matter. So reality is that you have a grudge. But if you love God and you allow God to take over your heart in the innermost being, that love will help you still honor your father, your mother, irrespective of whatever they did to you, because you are not longer being motivated by you, your flesh, but by God who you love. Are you with me? That's why when you walk in the Spirit, it becomes difficult for you to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you are not trying to please yourself. You are trying to please the Spirit. It is no longer you that you are living. You have put yourself behind Christ. You have told him to take the leadership in your life. It is him you are seeing. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. I hope you understand, you can't look unto Jesus if you don't put him in front. If you put Jesus behind you, you're not looking unto him. So as you look for him, you receive strength, you receive grace, you receive empowerment. The empowerment comes from Christ. The empowerment comes from your desire to please Christ. The empowerment comes from the fact that you've embraced Christ fully. You've not embraced Christ just because of what Christ wants to give you, the material thing. You have understood that this is the perfect life. This is the role model. This is the person I want to be like. Amen? I really challenge you. If you are seated here and you know in your heart that Jesus is not the person you want to be like, you are not yet a good tree. The reason is that the goodness of the tree is in Christ. So if Christ has not taken over, you are not a good tree. When he takes over, he's the one that brings the goodness into the tree. Hallelujah. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit, you will produce good fruit. Amen.